The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
Your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands.
And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So glad to be with you all tonight. I want to remind you once again that whatever you're going through, God is not your problem. He is your solution. He has the answer to whatever you're dealing with tonight, and he loves you, and he's got a plan to get you through it. So don't be moved by what you see, and don't be moved by what you feel. Only be moved by the word of God, and you will see victory in your life, because God can do all things. And people say God can do everything, but there's one thing God cannot do, and that is he cannot lie. If he said it, he will do it. If he promised it, he will bring it to pass. All we have to do is our part, which is trust him, and that is believe him, praise God, and you will see it come to pass, praise God. So be encouraged tonight, whatever you're dealing with, God is the answer. Come on, make it personal. You might, you know, be listening to this radio show for all kinds of different reasons, but just kind of tune in right now and realize that if God will do it for others, God will do it for me. If God will do it for someone else, he'll do it for you. He is not a respecter of persons, and he loves you, and he's got a plan for victory in your life. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Our website is spiritoffaithradio.com. Now, our website is down at the moment. They're having some difficulty. Our source, our supplier, are having some type of issue, and so they're fixing it. I hope to have it back up sometime later tonight. That is spiritoffaithradio.com. But praise God, you can still visit us on Facebook, and of course, we're on every week at 8:30 p.m. Love to hear from you. Once again, if you have a Bible question, if you have a praise report, testimony, God's done something in your life, you have a prayer request, email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. If you want to get on live with me, you can simply email me, instudio101@gmail.com, and put in the subject Zoom, and our wonderful producer, Gary, will get you hooked up with us in Jesus' name. Once again, that's instudio101@gmail.com. I apologize for being 7 minutes late tonight. Of course, seven is the number of perfection. I had some technical difficulties, had to reset my computer, and then it locked me out. So it took me a few moments, but I'm excited about tonight's show. Really have it in my heart that tonight is going to be a developing show. It's going to really help us deal with some issues that we're all dealing with. And I know, you know, everyone needs to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So grab that link and send it out to your friends and family. Every week, Gary, we have people that do whole Bible studies with their friends and family, and they grab their pen and paper and they join us on the radio. And I know tonight is no exception. Amen. So we'd love to hear from you. If you're a first-time listener, first-time guest, email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. Don't forget, when you write me, let me know where you're writing from. We're a worldwide radio show, and so we have listeners from all over the world, and tonight, of course, is no exception. This past week, we had listeners from Aruba, Brazil. As a matter of fact, my pastor right now is finishing up a week-long trip in Brazil. Praise the Lord. We had folks from England, Israel, hallelujah, Japan, Poland. You know, Japan's up on the screen, it seems like, every week now, Gary.
That's fantastic.
It is. Poland, Russia, the United States. I'd like to see more from Russia. Praise the Lord. But we do get folks from Russia regularly. The United States, and then our number one listener by a couple hundred is Canada. Praise God. Thank God for Canada. And of course, we were located in Canada for 12 years and just came back to the United States last year. And, you know, wherever you are, remember, we're not citizens first in the natural. We're citizens of heaven. If you're born again, your citizenship is in heaven. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. We'll get into the word tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we once again thank you and praise you and magnify you. We thank you tonight, Daddy, that we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, whereby through him, we cry, Abba, Father. We've got a daddy, and you are our daddy, and we're so thankful that you're our daddy. And we're so thankful, Lord, for how much you love us, and we're so thankful, Lord, that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Your care for us is just amazing, and every time we get into trouble, Lord, your word says in Psalms 46 that you're a very present help in the time of trouble, and so we thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you're going to do through this radio show. Touch our minds, touch our hearts, speak to us, do what you want to do. And we give you and you alone all the praise and honor and glory for it in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Glory. You know, I was just reminded, Gary, you know, you remember, you know how you got, you know, little kids, you know, toddlers and whatnot, and when they're trying to learn to walk and they're trying to learn to ride a bike and they fall and they fall and they fall. And, you know, many times they become discouraged and they start crying and they just feel like they're never going to make it. And a lot of times the parents will kind of laugh because they're like, oh, you know, I remember when I was there and you know, you just stick with it and you're going to be able to do it.
That's right. Yes.
But, you know, we sometimes think as adults that we have it all together and that as adults that somehow, you know, we have developed to a place of perfection or expertise. But you got to kind of, as a believer, we need to put on the mind of Christ and begin to look at things the way that God looks at things. What does God call us in the Bible, Gary? Does God ever call us adults?
No.
What does he call us?
Children.
Well, and he puts an adjective in front of that word.
My children? No.
That's a pronoun.
Oh, that's true. Well,
an adjective. It indicates small. My little children.
My little children.
He doesn't just call us children. He calls us little children. And the actual Greek says, my little infant darling ones. What's an infant?
A baby.
A baby. How does God look at us?
As babies, infants.
We're as babies. Now here, this will really help things and put things in perspective. I want to go somewhere else tonight. We have to go somewhere else tonight. But I just want to take a moment and take a look at this. Go with me, everybody, to Psalms 90. Go to Psalms 90. Get your Bible. Never believe the words of a preacher, my pastor, who will always be my pastor, Bishop Keith Butler. Thank God for my spiritual daddy. He begat me in the spirit. And he is my spiritual daddy, and I'm so thankful for my bishop. Psalm 90, you know, even as a senior pastor, Gary, in Canada, I never saw myself outside of his covering. He's my bishop. He's my pastor. And so that made it easy when it was time for us to come home for a season, which is where we are now, and back under at the headquarters church. And it made it a lot less challenging because I've never been disconnected from my spiritual father. And sometimes what people do, ministers, as they develop and they have their own ministry, if you will, they come to a place mentally where they think that they are now the umbilical cord is cut and they're on their own, so to speak. And the only person they need to hear from is God. But, you know, I learned this a long time ago. Bishop taught us that you always need someone to slap the spit out of you when you need it.
Yeah.
do you understand that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And when would you need the spit slapped out of you? When you're so high on yourself and you're salivating and you think you have all the answers. You never have all the answers. You always need accountability. And so that made it easy, you know, coming back. But back to this little children, that God sees us as little children. Look in Psalms 90, everybody, verse 4, stanza 4 of Psalms 90. And the psalmist says this, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. So one night with God is 1,000 years. One night with God is 1,000 years. So if someone is 1,000 years old, has any man after the birth of Adam lived to be 1,000, Gary?
No.
The oldest man that ever lived was Methuselah. And I think he was 968. I'd have to look it up. So almost 1,000. Now, during the millennial reign of Christ, will anybody live to be 1,000 years old in the earthly years as a man, as a human?
I don't think so. Yes? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. 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 And we're not going to get into that tonight because we just don't have time. We got to go somewhere else. But absolutely, there'll be many, 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 many people during the millennial reign of Christ that will be humans that will live as a human, not a glorified body human like we will be, but those that will be of the nations that will reproduce on the earth during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And understand, saints, we are right on the cusp of going into the millennial reign of Christ. I mean, we are right on the edge of Jesus coming back. I mean, it could be any time. It could be within this year. You know, Jesus is coming back. You need to understand that. He is not slack concerning his promises. He is coming back. And so people will live to be 1,000 years. Well, if you live to be 1,000 years, how long is that on God's clock, Gary?
That would be 1 million. Let's see, 1,000.
Look, let me read it again. This is Psalms 90, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I'm never giving you my opinion on this show, ever. My opinion means jack. And if I do give my opinion, which I do sometimes, the word of God always trumps my opinion.
Yeah.
That's really important to understand. The word of God always trumps an opinion. So Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Now, a Jewish day was sundown to sundown. So when one sundown has passed, that's one night or one day. And he says, it's for as 1,000 years in thy sight, talking about God's sight. So if you live to be 1,000 years old, How long is that in God's eyes?
A million?
Dude, or, let's go back to
gotta,
verse 4.
I got to do
the
math.
And we'll read it real slow. For 1,000 years.
I'm so tired today. I'm sorry.
You're good because you're not the only one. See, I do this because others are in the same place you are. And they're just, you know, we need to lock in here. So 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. Don't get deep and spooky now. 1,000 years are but as yesterday. So take out the yester and just look at the word day. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as a day. So if you live to be 1,000 years old, how long is that in God's sight?
A day.
One day.
Yeah.
So when a woman, even in today's day and age, when a woman has a baby at the hospital, let's say the mother has the baby at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. When does the mother usually go home from the hospital with the baby?
Usually the next day nowadays.
24 hours.
Yeah.
So that baby's one day old.
Yeah.
In the natural. Are you staying with me now?
Yep.
The baby goes home in one day. How much can that baby do when you bring the baby home when it's one day old?
Well, nothing, really.
That's how God sees someone who is 1,000 earthly years old.
Okay, I get that.
So when God says, my little children, he literally means my infants,
yeah,
my babies. When you compare us to God. Now, remember, we are born. God was never born. God has no beginning. God has no ending. We are his children. He begat us. He gave birth to us in the spirit by the Holy Ghost. Our spirits have been reborn within the image and the likeness of God. We were even physically made in the image and likeness of God after the similitude of Adam. And so we are now in the image and likeness of God, and we are going to live forever. So if you look at one day or 1,000 years, how long is 1,000 years, Gary, in the grand scheme of eternity?
It's nothing.
It's a spit in the bucket.
Yeah.
You're going to live forever. Forever. You're never going to die. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And forever you're going to be learning. Forever you're going to be growing. Forever you're going to be praising and worshiping him and developing and reproducing this universe with God Almighty. This is Father and Sons. And God's got an eternal purpose for us that is going to last forever. And so that little two-year-old that is learning, not two-year-old, probably what, four-year-old learning how to ride a bike? No. Yeah, four or five.
Yeah, four or five.
Something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. Something like that. Five or six. I don't know. I can't remember now. Both my kids both learn how to ride their bikes. But remember, they're falling and they get scabs on their knees and you know, you got them, moms make sure they got their helmet on and they got their elbow pads on and they got their gloves on and they got their knee pads. Somehow they still get a scab and they fall off the bike and dad gets them back up and dad's running alongside the bike and teaching them how and they're falling and there's times they get frustrated and dad says, all right, get back up, get on it. And all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and now they got it. And now they're riding by themselves. Praise God. No training wheels. They're learning how to do it. And somehow now they think they got it. Now they're figured it out. Now they got life, you know, by the neck. And yet all they've learned to do is ride a little bike. And that's how life is for us. We are constantly learning. So whatever you're going through tonight, maybe you're dealing with a physical challenge. Maybe you're dealing with financial problem. Maybe you're dealing with a relationship issue. Maybe you're dealing with a work issue, whatever it might be. Understand that when you get frustrated, your Heavenly Father is right there and he's running alongside you and he's teaching you and helping you. And he will get you through it if you'll just keep your eyes on him. So don't allow yourself to get frustrated and aggravated. Praise God. Amen. Now let's go to our text. We haven't even read our text tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. And it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Praise God. And so when you walk by faith, you believe God's word in your heart, and then you speak it with your mouth. We having the same spirit of faith. We had an amazing guest today at church, Gary, that Bishop Butler brought in, and Pastor Deborah. His name is Jim Hockaday. He was over healing school for over 10 years at Rhema Bible Training Center under Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. And he's still got an amazing traveling healing ministry. He's opening up a new facility where they're not only going to have healing meetings, he's building a laboratory, Gary, where they are going to physically validate the people that are being healed and show the medical evidence of their healings.
That's incredible.
He's had people, Gary, that were diagnosed with Down syndrome that have been totally healed from Down's syndrome.
Wow.
That's just beyond. I mean, if you understand anything about Down syndrome is where your chromosomes are messed up from birth. And the people's faces are have that certain look. They all kind of look the same when you have Down syndrome. And he's prayed for people that had Down syndrome as children, and their faces change. Their absolute anatomy begins to change because they're healed.
That's amazing.
It's beyond amazing. And that's the God we serve. He is beyond amazing. And so I really encourage you to get the message today. I'm going to listen to it about 10 times. He talked today about the creative power of God, and he talked about physics, and he talked about how it actually works, and the anointing, the power, and the presence of God that was in our sanctuary was tangible. It was amazing. There was one point in the service, he was praying for the sick, and things just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. The anointing, I mean, you could feel this like vibration in the room, just the presence of God kept getting stronger. And there was one point where the people kept getting louder and louder and louder. You know, there's like, you know, several thousand people in the room, and louder. And I'm looking around like, what, you know, it was kind of like someone just scored a touchdown, and it just kept getting louder. And I'm looking around like, what are they looking at? And it had nothing to do with anything that they could see. It was this spectacular feeling of the presence of God that just kept increasing in the room. It was something else. And so I encourage you to go to wordoffaith.cc, or find today's message, Word of Faith Southfield, by going to YouTube or Facebook, and you can watch it for free. What a tremendous blessing. Check it out. And I encourage you to send an offering too. Praise the Lord. You'll be blessed as a result. Amen. So he says here, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Remember, faith always speaks. What I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes is making sure you always stick with the Word of God. I grew up, spiritually speaking, in a Pentecostal full gospel church. And I had really good teaching, which a lot of it was based on Kenneth Hagin's teaching. But there were some that got off in hearing from God. Now, hearing from God is one of the most important things we can do. Hearing from God is where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But we're not hearing from God with these paddles on the side of our head, our ears. We're hearing from God with our spirit. And what's critically important to understand is that when God speaks, he always speaks in his language. His language is always the B-I-B-L-E. His language is always the Bible. And so sometimes what happens is that when people are growing and developing spiritually, they can get off. And how people get off is that they're seeking after a specific word from God. And when they think they got that word, that word is not lining up with Scripture. Let me give you an example, and I've heard this many times, is that God told me I don't need to work. I heard it recently, but you know, it's not just recently. I've been hearing that forever. And it's not in accordance with the word of God. God has called man to work. And you know, Gary, I know, you know, you've never been to Bible school or anything, but you've been with me now for, what, 3.5 years, and you've mm-hmm. heard a lot of word. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard any scripture that we've talked about that says that man should not work? Or let me rephrase it. Have you ever heard a scripture where the Bible talks about that we should retire?
No.
No. You know why?
Because it's the Bible God's doesn't word. Say that. Yeah.
It ain't deep and spooky. No, the Bible never says that we should not work. The Bible never says that we should retire. It's not in the word anywhere. Let's go to a scripture that's really important. It's in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, no, 3 rather, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Many of you know exactly where I'm going. Verse 10. Now remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. God said in the book of Psalms, I've exalted the word above my own name. Now, do you remember anything about Lucifer, Gary? Do you remember Isaiah 14 talks about when Lucifer fell? And the Bible says that God, that Lucifer exalted himself above the stars of God. Do you remember hearing that verse before?
I'm not sure if I do.
That's all right. So he said he exalted himself above the stars of God. Here's something really important to understand. You cannot legitimately or effectively exalt yourself. The only person who can exalt anybody is God. We find that in Psalm 75. Promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, or the south. God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. James 4:7 and 1 Peter chapter 5 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. God is the one that exalts. God is the one that promotes. You can't promote yourself. But the Bible tells us that Lucifer exalted himself above the stars of God. The Bible tells us in Psalms, I've exalted the word above my own name. What Satan will try to do is he will try to bring his own word into your life to exalt that word, which is contrary to the word of God. And so for Satan to tell you, you don't need to work, it's an absolute lie. Because God has always called us to work. Work for 6 days and on the seventh day rest. But there's no scripture that talks about retirement. If there is, please email me right now and let me know where the Bible says that when you hit 65 or 68 or 72 or whatever, you should retire. Show me where it says that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't slow down. I'm not saying you need to work for a paycheck. But the Bible says that you should work while it's yet day, for the night comes when no man works. Jesus didn't punch a clock. Paul didn't punch a clock. As a matter of fact, Paul labored with his own hands. Paul made tents while he was preaching the gospel. Paul worked. Paul didn't let anybody say, you made Paul rich. Amen. Praise God. So notice here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, any would not work, neither should he eat. Listen to this in the New Living Translation. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Glory to God. Amen. Let's see. Let me give you one more version here. Bible in Basic English says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you orders, saying, if any man does not work, let him not have food." Well, if you don't have food, Gary, that's going to be a motivation to work.
I would think.
Amen. And so, you know, this is just one example of how sometimes people think they heard from God, but they really didn't hear from God. Now, saints, if your only church is listening to my radio show every Sunday night, that is not enough. You need a pastor. You need a local church. God ordained the local church for every single believer. Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave pastors. Why? Because he wants every sheep to have a shepherd. Every lamb needs a shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Every believer needs a pastor. Jeremiah 3:15, "I've given you pastors after my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding." You need a pastor to feed you, not a pastor to be your friend, not a pastor for you to have dinner with, not a pastor for you to go to the ball game with, not a pastor for you to be buddy-buddy with, a pastor to feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is a pastor's job, and God has given pastors for every single believer to have a pastor. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the perfecting or the developing of the saints, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so that is every believer's first and foremost call as a Christian, is that you need a church. You need a local shop where you can go get filled up. You know, how long can you drive your car, Gary, without stopping at a gas station?
Not too long.
300?
Maybe.
Well, let me go to kilometers with you. 500 kilometers? Do you get that much out of your car?
Not quite.
I got that out of my hybrid.
Oh,
I got
great.
A Camry hybrid. I get like over 500 kilometers out of my hybrid. But, you know, eventually, man, you get down there and empty. And when you get down and empty, what do you need to do?
Go refuel.
You need to pull into the local filling station so you can get filled up. Well, as Christians, you can't go more than a 3 or 4 or 5 days. You know, you need to eat more than once a week. You know, if you're driving a lot, you're going to have to get gas. When you're driving Uber, Gary, you're going to have to get gas more than once a week.
Absolutely.
Why? Because it's a long drive into Toronto.
Yep.
and then you're driving everybody around, praise God. And so you have to fill it up. And it's the same thing spiritually speaking. You have to stay filled. And what happened with COVID is so many people have stayed away from the local filling station. And many, you know, can you do a Zoom call, Gary, and fill up your tank on your car?
No.
You can't do it. It ain't going to work. You got to go down there. And you know, yeah, the Spirit of God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. But there's something about the tangible corporate anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the grace of God. The anointing is the presence of God. The anointing is the power of God. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed. The Bible says that his presence was there to heal. That's the anointing. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. Well, when many are gathered together, that corporate anointing is there, which means it's a stronger, more powerful anointing, and we need that. I tell you, man, my life has changed after that service this morning, the presence of God. And every week, the presence of God is in our church, every single week. And whatever church you go to, you should be experiencing the presence of God. Now, I'm not saying that we live by experience. I'm not saying that we live by a feeling. But at the same time, God wants us to sense and realize his reality in our lives. It's not just about mind over matter. It's not just about, you know, what somebody else has said, but walking with Christ, having a relationship with Christ is an experiential life. It's experiencing the glory of God. It's experiencing the presence of God. It's something that's tangible that becomes real in your life. And you need to have that. And if you don't have that, you need to get that. And it begins by seeking the Lord, saying, "Lord, where do you want me to go to church?" Just ask him. Ask him and believe that you receive. Now, remember, he said that when you ask, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea tossed and driven. Amen. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James chapter 1. So when you are asking God for wisdom, you have to believe that you receive it. That's how faith works. And if you believe that you receive it, then you say, okay, Lord, by faith, I thank you that I have the answer right now, and you are now showing me what to do. I had a woman come up to me recently asking me to pray for her about a couple things. And it was really nothing to pray about. These were things that all she needed to do was walk in the revelation of God's word. For example, she wanted me to pray that she would have a blessed week. Well, the Bible very clearly says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Psalms 37 says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so I had her begin to declare those verses in a very simple confession. And then she said, so is there anything to pray about? I said, no, there's nothing to pray about. You just walk in the revelation, and when you think about it, you open your mouth and you release faith and you say, I thank you, Lord, that my steps are ordered. And I had her point at her feet, and I said, now you say to your feet, feet, you take me where God wants me to go. And she said it, feet, you take me where God wants me to go. And I said, that's it. Your feet are going to take you where God wants you to go. Praise God. Why? Because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and God delights in his way. Praise the Lord. So we need to learn to walk out our faith. You know, a lot of times we're praying for what we ought to be saying. I'm going to say that again. Many times we are praying for what we ought to be saying. Yes, there's a time for prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, which means that you're constantly connected to the Spirit of God. You're constantly communicating. That's the simplest form of prayer. Prayer is communication with God. You're constantly walking with him. You're constantly listening to what he has to say. That's what walking in the Spirit is all about. It's walking with God. Hallelujah. I love that old song. It goes, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. I try to remember the rest of it. And then it says, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me, I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And God wants us to experience his presence, his joy. He wants us to experience hearing his voice, because when you hear his voice, it produces faith. And when you have that working in your life, you've got peace and you've got joy. I love Romans 15, 13. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, all joy and all peace through believing. Or the Greek word pistis, through your confidence and your trust and your assurance of him, that you may abound. The word abound there in the Greek is superabound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, someone may say, Pastor, where did you learn this? Did you learn this from studying? Honestly, no. What I'm teaching you right now, I learned from my pastor. Bishop Butler taught me this, and he fed me with knowledge, and he fed me with understanding. This is why you need a pastor. I love what he says. He says, you know, I said it a few minutes ago, and Gary said he understood what I was talking about. We need someone to slap the spit out of you when you need it. You need a pastor who is going to say, no, that thinking is wrong. No, God didn't say that. God's not going to tell you to not work. He's just not going to do it. We are made to work. As a matter of fact, he says in Ephesians 2 that we have been recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained before time for us to walk in. Walk in what? Works. He's called us to work. He's called us to bring forth good works. Praise God. Every one of us is called to work. Every one of us is called to do the work of God. As a matter of fact, he talks about in James, the work of faith. It's a work of faith. We have to work. Praise God. Let me find that real quick. Praise the Lord. I think it might be the Amplified translation. Hallelujah. Work of faith. Thank you, Jesus. It's actually, I think there is one in James, but 1 Thessalonians 1:3 in the King James says, remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Praise God. So there is a work of faith. The Bible in basic English says in 3 John verse 8, so it is right for us to take in such men as guests so that we take our part in the work of true faith. Remember, faith without works is dead. James says that as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith without works is dead. If there is no works, there is no faith. Well, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word in the Greek, talking about the written word of God, is the Greek word logos. So everything written in the scriptures is the logos. But remember this, it started out as rhema. And one thing that Jim Hockaday talked about today, and you can go get that message, Word of Faith Southfield, Word of Faith Southfield, YouTube or Facebook, you can listen to it and watch it for free. I strongly encourage you to get that message. He talked about today about how even though we have the Logos written word, at one time it was the Rhema. And when it was the Rhema to holy men of God who by the Spirit of God penned these scriptures, it now is to us in Logos. Why? So it can go back to Rhema. So that when we read the word of God, that word is now coming into our spirit. That's why he said in Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Get busy is the word attend. Incline your ear unto my sayings, your physical ear, because that's one access of the word of God into your spirit. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health or medicine to all of their flesh. Put away from you a froward mouth or words that speak contrary to the word of God. Well, one thing that will happen is that your pastor is seeking God each week for a word from heaven to speak in order to feed and nourish the sheep and the lambs. What's the difference, Gary, between a sheep and a lamb?
A sheep is, it could be a ram, a male.
And no. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yep, okay. Yep. And what do we call it if you eat a sheep?
What do we call it?
What do we call the meat?
Veal.
No, that's baby. That's baby calf.
Okay.
That's baby cow. What do we call adult sheep, you know?
A hue? A
mutton.
Ewe? A mutton. Oh, okay, mutton.
Yeah. Mutton. Okay. And you know, some of the Caribbean, my Caribbean friends, they love mutton. Mutton and goat, praise God. But so an adult sheep is mutton, and then a baby is a lamb. So the difference between a sheep and a lamb is that one is a baby and one is full grown. Well, the pastor's job is to feed both. So both would mean that a sheep is someone who has developed in the word of God. Do you think it has anything to do with their physical age, Gary?
No.
No, not at all. Because spiritual development, remember what Paul told Timothy. Paul was the apostle. Timothy was his son. And he told him, he said, Timothy, let no man despise your youth. So Timothy was the youngest pastor. He was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he told and Paul told him that no man despise your youth. In other words, don't allow anyone who is physically older than you to kick you to the curb because they think that you're young and you're too young to be a pastor. My pastor, Bishop Butler, who our church will be 45 years old in January. He's been pastoring for 50 years. He's been a minister for 50 years. He started when he was 22 years old, Gary.
That's quite young.
Imagine a 22-year-old pastor with a 70-year-old congregant.
Yeah, wow.
It takes some humility.
Yeah.
And yet that's what God called him to do. So, you know, physical age has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is designated by one thing. Are you a doer of the word? How much are you a doer of the word? That's how you know if someone is spiritual or not. They're spiritual because they do the word. They're unspiritual or babies if they don't do the word. And a baby, Ephesians 4, says that we be no more teenagers tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You become someone who's unstable when you just go by all these feelings and what other people say, and you don't go by the word of God. The more you go by the word of God and you just do the word, no matter how you feel or what you think, then you become someone who is spiritually developed, and which means spiritually mature. Praise God. Let's get to your questions. I got a ton of them tonight. I'd love to hear from you. It's not too late. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. Our website is currently down. It should be back up shortly. Make sure you check it out this week, spiritoffaithradio.com. Really would encourage you to sow a seed, be a blessing to us for our radio bill. You know, sow in, take a minute, sow some seed so that someone else can hear. No gift is too small, 5, 10, 15, 20. You can do so by going to our website. It should be back up later tonight or tomorrow. And that's spiritoffaithradio.com. Praise God. Let's go to our first question. Our first email tonight is from our friend Brian. Brian says, Pastor, why did God make Satan? Thank you. Great question, Brian. So God did not make Satan. Satan actually made Satan. And the way that Satan became Satan is that he was born, or not born, he was not born. He began as an angel, a cherubim named Lucifer. And we find that in really the genesis of Lucifer is found in two places, and that is Isaiah 14. And Ezekiel 37, I think. You can look it up. But let me go to Isaiah 14 here for a moment. And let's start with, that's why I can't find it. King James. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Notice he's fallen. Jesus said in Luke, Luke 10, 16, he said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Here Isaiah says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now, Lucifer fell before Adam was made. Did you get that, Gary?
I just did now.
Before Adam was born,
yeah.
Lucifer fell and became Satan. Notice what he says here. You weakened the nations.
Mm-hmm.
So there were nations before Adam.
Okay.
In other words, there were people on the earth. Where do you think that the cavemen come from? Do you think cavemen are real?
I do.
Absolutely. There, we have fossils. We have, what's the word I'm looking for?
Archaeology.
Yeah, we have. You know, fossils. I think that's the right word.
Yeah.
You know, cadavers or whatever. That carbon date thousands of years ago, and they even had different shapes and whatnot. Those are real. And those came from what we call the pre-Adamite world. Now, there are some wonderful, awesome Christians, people I highly, highly respect, that don't believe in the pre-Adamite world. I do. And I see enough evidence in Scripture that clearly tells us there was a pre-Adamite world. And Lucifer had a throne over these people on the earth. And he fell. He said, you weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, which is in heaven. That's in heaven, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as the wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? When the world became a wilderness, he's not talking about a desert. He's talking about desolate. Did the earth become desolate before Adam, Gary?
Yes.
Yeah, think about back in Genesis chapter 1. It says that God made the heavens and the earth. And then it says in verse 2, and the earth was without form. Now, when God made the heavens and the earth, he made them perfect. But then in verse 2, all of a sudden, the earth has no form, and there's void, and there's darkness upon the face of the waters. Gary, does God have any darkness?
No.
No. So, you know, the question tonight from Brian is, why did God make Satan? God didn't make Satan. Did God make darkness?
No.
No. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But where did darkness come from? It came from his created being, who then turned on God, who then allowed pride to deceive him. Pride got into his heart, and when pride came in, Lucifer died, spiritually speaking, and became Satan. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that he became the god of this world. The word world is the Greek word cosmos, which means the system of operation, the order that's on this earth currently. Praise God. Amen. And we could teach on this for a long time, but I really appreciate that question. I think we all needed to hear that tonight. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Brian, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Walt. Walt says, does God really know what all 8 billion people in the world are thinking and doing? Come on, really? Absolutely, Walt. See, you and I are babies. And Walt, I was talking earlier, if you were listening, about how a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is of a day. Now, I didn't finish reading in Psalms 90, but he goes on to say, therefore, teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Now, if you number your days, Gary, and you break down 1,000 years, how old are you now on God's clock?
Oh, man.
Let me help
hours,
you out. I did the math.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Hours.
Yeah.
Minutes in some cases.
Yeah.
So if you are 42.6 years, you are 1 hour old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah. I'm just over an hour old.
Mm-hmm.
So, Walt, you're trying to understand God, who is eternal, has no beginning, has no ending. When we talk about brilliant, when we talk about a genius, that doesn't begin to describe God. When we talk about a PhD, all that is one specialty in one area. And God has a hyper PhD in every single subject. So for you to try to understand with your finite mind how God knows the thinking and what people are doing of 8 billion people right now on the earth, that's nothing for God. That's nothing. That he doesn't even break a sweat. And he knows every thought. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. That's how big, how wide, how deep, how amazing our God is. Amen. I think I answered that question. You got it, Gary?
I got it.
Okay, praise God. Walt, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Andrew. Andrew says, Spirit of Faith, Pastor, what is manna? Is it a type of bread? Great question. It is. Manna was a very thin piece of wafer, and manna came down from heaven. God actually rained down manna, and they would collect that manna and put it all together, and it would be like eating bread, and it brought them nourishment. It wasn't protein, I don't believe, but it was, you know, some type of carbohydrate, and they would eat that. However, it wouldn't last long. So within 24 hours, it would begin to get mildew and spoil and rot. So they could only collect enough for one day. Praise God. And of course, manna represents the word of God. Give us this day our daily manna, our daily bread, because you need the word of God every single day. Call you bless, Andrew, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Kelly. Kelly says, so Pastor, when we pray to God, it is yes, no, or wait. Is that in the Bible? Thank you. No, there is no waiting for answered prayer. Now, there is waiting on God, absolutely, but not waiting for answered prayer. God's promises in Christ are always yes and amen. He's never, his answer is never no. The reason that you may have a no is because you're not praying according to the word of God. But when you pray according to the word of God, the answer is always yes. And we find that in, let me pull it up. Boom, 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 boom. It's found in boom, boom, boom. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it, to God through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. That is the Amplified Bible. Let me just read the King James. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him or in Christ are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So there is no no. There's yes, and there's amen. Amen means so be it. There's no no. So whenever you pray according to the will of God, and that's the only way to pray, it's always yes. You never, ever, ever, ever should pray outside of God's will. Why would you want to ask for something that's not God's will? God's will is that you receive exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. God wants you to be blessed more than you want to be blessed. But that's why we got to stay in his parameters and pray according to his will. Call you blessed tonight, Kelly, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Beth. Beth says, Pastor, what are the differences between Catholicism, Pentecostalism, Baptist, and other Christian religions? And what are you? Thanks. Of course, Beth didn't say it like that, but I thought it was cute. So these are just different denominations, and they're different emphases on doctrines of the Word of God. So Catholics have their doctrines. Some of them are heresies, which means they believe certain things that will take you away from the true faith. Protestantism began really with Martin Luther and his the thesis that he nailed to the door at the Vatican. Baptists, again, these are just different focuses on different doctrines. But anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and becomes a Christian. Praise God. And what am I? You would say that I'm a Christian. I would say non-denominational. Some would say Word of Faith is a denomination. So I'm Word of Faith. But mostly I'm a lover of Jesus. Praise God. And I believe all the Word of God. Amen. Call you blessed, Beth, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Anne. Anne says, hi, Pastor. This is so true. It's a picture of the Titanic sinking. And it says, all classes of people were brought aboard the Titanic. Wealthy people, famous people, highly educated people, illiterate people, and poor folks down to the steerage. But a few hours later, when they posted the list of the Cunard office in New York, there were only two categories, lost and saved. This is how God sees humanity. And you're absolutely right. I talk about it oftentimes about how there's really only two races. There's the God race, and then there's the Satan race. And that's it. There's two races of people. All of us are Homo sapiens. All of us are human beings. Color means nothing. You know, just because the color of your skin is different than my color, that doesn't make you different. You're still a human, and you're still a child of God, physically speaking. But if you follow Satan, then you're a follower of Satan. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, he said that be not deceived, that to whomever you yield your members to, he's your master. So if you yield your members to sin, Satan is your master. If you yield your members to righteousness, then God is your master. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, and in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Matt. Matt says, hello to Pastor John W. Did any of Jesus's disciples kill anyone? No, I can't think of one. If you can think of one, let me know. Call you blessed tonight, Matt, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend. Peter tried to kill Malchus, cut his ear off, and Jesus healed it. Hallelujah. Amen. Tim says, hi, Pastor. Does the Bible tell us how long Jesus's earthly mother, Mary, lived? No, it doesn't. Great question. Call you blessed, Tim, in Jesus' name. This email is from William. Pastor John, are there male and female angels? Great question. The answer is no. Angels are angels. There's one class of angels, and they are angels, not male or female. And the reason there would be male and female is for reproduction, but angels do not reproduce. Angels are created beings. And that's a great question. I don't ever heard it put that way before. But no, there are just one class of angels, and they are not given a gender. Praise God. Amen. Call you blessed, William. Another email here tonight from Carl. Carl says, I thought this was cute. After Adam stayed out late a few nights, Eve became suspicious. You're running around with another woman. Admit it, she demanded. What other woman? Adam shot back. You're the only one here. That night, Adam was fast asleep. When he was awoken by Eve poking in the chest, Adam asked Eve, what are you doing? Counting your ribs. Hallelujah. That's hilarious. Call you blessed tonight, Carl, in Jesus' name. This email is from Eric. Eric says, Pastor, is there anything in the Bible that relates to purgatory? No. Not our 66 books, King James authorized Bible. There are not. Now, there is the Apocrypha, which is the Catholic Bible, and it does talk about purgatory, but it does not line up with Scripture. Hebrews tells us that man is appointed once unto death and then the judgment. There is no purgatory, and there is no hope after death. If you reject Christ in this earth by your works, by your actions, then that's it. You're done. And then there's a fearful day of judgment, Hebrews tells us. Call you blessed, Eric, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Gail. Gail says, Pastor, where is hell? We know that heaven is up there. It's actually in the north, Gail. But where is hell? Is it in the earth's core? Thank you. The answer is yes. The hell is in the center of the earth, and it's very hot in a place you don't want to go. It's going to be emptied out at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Before the earth is renovated by fire, hell will be emptied out, and everyone in hell will stand before God at the white throne judgment. How long do I have, Gary? I'm out of time, right?
You have about 3 minutes.
Good. Two last emails. This one, call you blessed, Gail. This one is from Tom. Tom says, hi, Pastor. Listening to you from Toronto. Love the show, as I always learn so much about the word. Thank you very much. Tom, thanks for the encouragement. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. This one's from Monica. Monica says, Pastor, here's the right answer. Holy Spirit, what should I wear today? Holy Spirit says, put on Christ. Hallelujah. I put that up on Facebook today. Monica, thanks for following me on Facebook. Y'all can follow me too. find me, John Ward, on Facebook. You can also find Spirit of Faith on Facebook and check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. Until next week, Gary and I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.